All right, thank you. My name is Clara Trueblood, and I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Right now I work for GAI Consultants as an environmental engineer for the natural gas industry. However, I went to NC State University and enjoyed getting my master's there. This is an invasive species assessment system that we developed for the horticultural industry. I got to work with Dr. Tom Rainey and Dr. Joe Neal with the support from the North Carolina Nursery and Landscape Association. Today I'll review how we developed the assessment system, review the components of the assessment, including a unique section that we developed to estimate economic value, demonstrate how we use the assessment, and also review the species results and overall project outcome. To begin, there were several actions that impacted the nursery industry in regards to invasive species, and that prompted my project with NC State. In several states, they have developed species lists, primarily from universities, exotic pest plant councils, and conservation groups that have identified certain plants that are for sale in the nursery industry as being too invasive for sale. So in North Carolina, beech vitex is a noxious weed. In Washington and Oregon, butterfly bush is a noxious weed, and in Connecticut, Japanese barberry is encouraged to not be sold anymore in the horticultural industry. So in North Carolina, the nursery industry decided to take a proactive response to the potential for regulating the sale of potentially invasive plants. They formed a committee within the association. They endorsed the St. Louis Voluntary Code of Conduct for nursery professionals, which focuses on education and research, and if a species is too invasive for sale, self-regulation. And finally, they supported my project, which was to create an invasive assessment protocol specifically for the industry. In North Carolina, nursery and floriculture is huge. It's one of the fastest growing component of the U.S. agricultural economy, and in North Carolina, the state consistently ranks one of the top four producers by state. The ornamental industry contributes about 30% of total crop sales in North Carolina, with a wholesale value of $890 million. So the idea of regulating for a particular species could have a particularly detrimental effect on the industry. So they wanted to come up with a systematic assessment with transparent, objective criteria that they could use to rank potentially invasive ornamental plants that are being sold in the industry. And they would like to use those results to advise their members regarding what plants to sell or what plants may need to be self-regulated. There are other assessment models out there. NatureServe has developed a national protocol that could be adopted for a regional basis. And then there's also state-specific models. Some primary ones are from California, Michigan, Florida, and Arizona. So to develop an assessment particular for North Carolina, we compared these available assessments. I tried to find every assessment that exists, whether it's from the United States, Australia, New Zealand, and that was the first step of the project, was to find all the assessments that are out there and start using them. Just sit down and practice going through answering each question, and that was the basis of creating the North Carolina model, was what questions have answers. So a lot of these assessments have really interesting questions, but there's just not available data to answer those. So if you have unknowns in your assessment results, it detracts from the overall ranking. So our first primary factor in developing the assessment is trying to ask questions that have answers available for North Carolina or the southeastern U.S. We developed our assessment similar to the available ones, with point values and weighted criteria. We have a total of 100 points that a plant could score in the assessment, and it's primarily for just ranking purposes rather than absolute measurement of risk. We have three overall results ranging from high, medium, and low. High would be the plants that would be too invasive and not recommended for further sale. Medium were those that are moderately weedy and they may still be sold, but with specific guidance, including avoiding plantings next to vulnerable communities or communities that are known to have rare, threatened, or endangered plants, ones that might be eligible for further research, and also ones that could be sold, but with guidance for managing, pruning, preventing fruit set And then the lowest category would be just the non-invasive and recommended for further use. So our assessment has four components, the top three here, ecological impact, invasive potential, and management difficulty, are designed to estimate risk. And then the fourth component, benefit and value, is designed to estimate the benefits that these plants present to the nursery industry. And that component, the fourth one, is a unique part of this assessment that we designed specifically for the nursery industry. We understand that ornamental plants have a large economic value to the state. And in that way, we wanted to evaluate both the risk and benefit. The scores for the benefit section are negative, so they subtract from the overall ranking. And we created the online grower survey to generate this state-level species-specific data for the economic value of these potentially invasive plants. We looked at plant production and general sales, targeting to the nursery association who's sponsoring this project. We looked at these 18 potentially invasive species, including ones that we just heard about, including vinca minor and Chinese privet. These plants were all identified by either land managers as potentially invasive or by the Nurserymen's Association as potentially invasive plants that could be listed as being too invasive for sale. Our survey was very simple. We just asked, what is the estimated percentage of your total annual sales attributed to each plant? And we received 30 responses, which is lower. We had a potential of 850 members, but the 30 responses that we did receive were from very large growers. So we were able to use that and extrapolate and find that from those 30 responses, the estimated wholesale value of those 18 potentially invasive plants is very large, 20% of statewide sales. The greatest economic impact is associated with these three plants here, Miscanthus, Nandina, or heavily bamboo, and vinca minor. Most taxa contribute only 5% of total annual sales. However, there are a few that contribute up to half of total annual sales, including Miscanthus, Japanese privet, and Nandina. So if there was self-regulation, it could impact certain growers more so than others if up to half of your total annual sales is attributed to only one plant. So I'll go through how we use the assessment system. Again, it's a set of weighted criteria. As an example, I'll use Oriental Bittersweet, which is a deciduous invasive vine in the western part of the state, North Carolina. North Carolina has listed this as a Class C noxious weed, so it's in quarantine, and you're not supposed to transport it from the western part of the state to the eastern. However, it is used culturally in wreath making. It has really nice red berries that create nice door hangings, and you're not supposed to buy wreaths in the western part and transport them to Raleigh, but you can. So there is the potential for spread there. Again, the first part of completing the assessment is to find peer-reviewed literature. That was my first step in completing an assessment, is find the data, and then it was supported with a variety of online resources. The first section, ecological impact, has four questions, and this is one of the most highly ranked sections in the assessment because of the severe ecological impact from invasive plants, including ones from the ornamental side. The first question examines the impact on ecosystem processes, and we know that light availability is the major abiotic condition that is impacted by oriental bittersweet. However, it doesn't affect soil moisture, soil nutrients, it doesn't produce inhibitory chemicals, so it only receives 4 out of 10. So this is how we go through the assessment. Each question has at least 4 responses with point values associated with each one. This one receives 4 out of 10. Next, the impact on plant community structure is more serious with oriental bittersweet. It causes major alteration, it suppresses, shades native vegetation, girdles, and damages trees. So it receives a maximum point value here, 20 out of 20. Next, we look at the impact on rare species, whether this plant inhabits vulnerable communities or is known to impact threatened endangered plants. This question was also a common one in the previous assessment models that we looked at, that we pulled the questions from to develop for North Carolina. We know that oriental bittersweet is known to negatively impact American bittersweet, which is a significantly rare species in North Carolina. The two look the same. The primary difference is in the location of the berries, whether it's in the axis or the panicle clusters here. So we received 5 out of 5 points. The fourth and last question is in ecological impact. Looks at the impact on higher trophic levels, whether this plant negatively affects other animals or serves as a host plant for pathogens. Oriental bittersweet doesn't do any of that, so it doesn't receive any points, 0 out of 5. Our next section also measures risk, and we call invasive potential the current distribution and potential for expansion. So with oriental bittersweet, we know that the range of the species has increased, but it hasn't doubled. And we have data saying approximately 3% increase in the number of North Carolina counties reporting occurrences per year. So it's a moderate spread, moderate to high, so it receives 4 out of 7 points. We look at long-distance dispersal potential, and here it scores the highest number because the seeds are dispersed by birds and mammals, and they're known to be dispersed long distances. We also look at the reproductive characteristics. Oriental bittersweet reproduces readily by seed. Those seeds germinate in a wide range of conditions, and it resprouts readily by vegetative means, receiving 6 out of 8 points. It would have received the maximum number if those fragments could be readily established elsewhere easily, like beach vitex. We look at the range of communities, and this is another area where we've incorporated North Carolina-specific criteria into the model. We're looking at fall and weekly classification of natural communities in North Carolina and the number of communities. There's low elevation music forest, river floodplains, that receives 4 out of 6. And we're also looking at similar habitats invaded elsewhere. And again, it scores on the moderate side with 4 out of 6 points. Our third section also measures risk. We're looking at management difficulty. These plants that we're looking at as being potentially invasive, they're already for sale, so the model's non-predictive. We know that these plants are already out there, so if they were to become established or further established in natural areas, can we manage them? And our first question looks at herbicide availability, and we know that glyphosate and triclopyr are effective, so 0 out of 5 points. However, non-chemical control methods are not effective because hand-cut or pulled plants can break and resprout, so it receives the maximum points here. Finally, look at whether individual treatments are required. Yes, they are, usually cut stem applications. The distribution, whether it's in discrete stands or diffuse populations, it's in a range of the two, so it receives 1 out of 2. It is likely to reestablish, so it receives points here. And we're also looking at whether these areas are accessible. We know that oriental bittersweet generally invades along forest margins, which are accessible, so it doesn't receive any points here. Our last question in management difficulty looks at non-target impacts. If managing this plant is going to impact other native species or the environment, we know that oriental bittersweet can be mistaken for American bittersweet, so you could be accidentally removing a native plant, and also the herbicides may affect non-target vegetation, so it receives the maximum points here. So in this approach, you can see there's varying point levels and ranking criteria that we're using to systematically assign points to the potential invasiveness for these plants. The fourth section estimates the benefit and value of either selling or using this plant in the local economy and culture. Oriental bittersweet does not have wholesale value or high percentage of total sales, so it doesn't receive any points. And again, these are negative and would have subtracted from the overall ranking. There is no ecosystem services like erosion and sediment control or wildlife habitat provided. However, there's the cultural and social benefits that we reviewed with the North Carolina craft trade, so it receives a negative point here. So these are the overall scores for oriental bittersweet. You can see ecological impact, invasive potential, and management difficulty have fairly high point values, low economic values. It receives a score of 71 out of 100. So then we take that score and apply it to the three categories and find oriental bittersweet is on the high end and highly invasive and not recommended for horticultural use. So that's how we go through the system, and I prepared a data form for each plant and included all the resources and references so that anyone who read that could come up with the same assessment. So we ran the assessment with a variety of plants, and the top three were beech vitex, Japanese honeysuckle, and oriental bittersweet. So these would be ones that would be not encouraged for sale. The majority of the plants that we reviewed were considered moderately weedy, so they fell in the mid-range. At the top is Chinese privet, and the scoring system didn't have enough to put it right into the higher range, but you can see it's at the top of the moderate. But these plants would be ones that could be recommended for sale with guidance regarding planting, trying to avoid putting them near vulnerable communities or near areas where they're already known to naturalize, near populations of rare, threatened, endangered plants, or they could be plants that may be encouraged for research purposes to find sterile cultivars. Then we also have low-ranking species, which were considered to have limited impact, and then non-invasive species. We included plants that were considered non-invasive but also valuable in the North Carolina nursery industry as a comparison to see just how does this fourth component with the economic value affect the score, and you can see plants like camellia, evergreen azaleas, and lily turf, liriope, received extremely low values because they're non-invasive and also horticulturally valuable. We compared our assessment for North Carolina with the primary available models from California, Florida, Michigan, and NatureServe, and found that they had similar results. The overall conclusions per assessment system is provided here, so you can see we're all talking about the same language but using different words to do so, which was another difficulty in completing all of these assessments, whether you call something medium or specified limited use or insignificant medium. It's all describing the same thing but with different terms. So we looked at Japanese barberry, Chinese privet, and also miscanthus, and all of them did find Chinese privet as medium except Michigan, which was high. So that was a sign that this was a plant that could be in the mid to high range, but again, we found it to be medium. So overall, we were able to develop this system that is based on scientific peer-reviewed journal articles to assign risk to potentially invasive plants, but also measure the overall benefits. And the North Carolina Nursery and Landscape Association, they've received the results. It's been published in their local newsletter, and I was able to talk with the Nursery Association so that they could use these results to guide their members, and also, as the discussion evolves with self-regulation, have a tool to explain and rank plants that are for sale. We've identified research areas, and we understand that there are improvements that can be made to the system, including primarily additional research and information on the distribution of plants and the environmental impacts so that we can further assess and respond to the questions and the criteria in the assessment with additional data. So with that, I'd like to thank my advisors, Dr. Joe Neal and Tom Rainey, and the North Carolina Nursery and Landscape Association, and have time for questions and discussion. Yes?
Is the system currently being used by whatever region of the state?
Sure. So the question is this system currently in use? And to answer that, I don't know if the North Carolina Nursery and Landscape Association is referring to this with the sale of their plants, but I know that they have heard the results, they've been published to the members, and they understand that this assessment exists. So if these plants do come up for discussion in limiting sale or availability, I'm sure they would refer back to this. But I think that's as far as it went, unless there's been something that's changed. But I know that they've heard the results, and they know if there's additional work to be done, they could use this as a starting point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the question is about state level, like a State Department of Agriculture. Yeah, whenever I gave my thesis defense, there were representatives from the state at the talk, and they discussed it. I mean, they were interested in it. They were looking, they had such a smaller list. They focused on something like beech vitex or oriental bittersweet. As far as I know, nothing additional has come out from the North Carolina Department of Agriculture in terms of plants that have been listed for do not sell. But they have, they're definitely aware of it, and they know that this type of assessment exists for the state. Okay. How do you, are you familiar with the risk assessment that they completed? Was it based on, because I know USDA, they were looking at a, an assessment as well.
Yeah, related more to bioenergy, and they spent a lot of time looking at it. I'm not sure what specific models are.
Thank you.
So I swapped in, like you may have said, I apologize. Did you think that GERB was retail versus home currently stop sales of certain crops or crop versus just put themselves in a more environmental stewardship buyer?
So the question is about, have particular growers chosen to self-regulate and stop the sale of particular invasive plants? I haven't heard anything like that. I do know that they have supported native plants as alternatives and tried to focus more on the positive native plants instead of avoiding these potentially invasive plants.
Mm-hmm. Claire, I have a different question. I continue to think about this. And so this model gives some credit for benefit and economic impact, which I think is somewhat unique. A lot of other models don't address that. But you only give sort of limited credit for that. It's like 15 points.
Right, right.
At what point can economic value really trump weedness? Of something like fescue, which is non-native, it's ubiquitous, it's considered a highly invasive weed, but nobody talks about it because everybody grows it as a lawn. Do you have any thoughts on that? Is there a point which people say, oh, well, this plant is terribly weedy, but there's nothing we can do about it, it's valuable?
Right, so that's a great question. It's about when does a plant become too economically valuable to be limited for sale, and how do you balance the two? I think this model would, it serves as a basis for that discussion. I mean, that idea of regulating the sale, whenever we see that, for example, one grower has half of their business attributed to one plant, is huge. And to limit the sale of a plant and affect someone so negatively like that, you would need to have more scientific documentation, I think, than what I could put together in a model like this. That would be a bigger debate than just a ranking system. But I think this serves as a basis for starting that discussion. Of course, with the weighing economic risk and benefit, you know, then the economic hardship from the state to have to manage an invasive plant that's being sold by members in the state, there would be an awful lot that goes into that.
Or if I heard Tom right, Bermuda grass, for example, in Oklahoma, we're not even going to discuss it. Maybe we should. There would be a civil war.
Let's open this up to all questions. How's that sound?
Thanks.
We're officially. Oh no! Don't go. Don't come up here to you, Carl. Come up here, Brett. Everybody, come up. So let's have questions for all of the speakers. But I want to jump in regarding Clara's situation with the battle between recommendations to sell and recommendations to to control, that's actually what spurred the development of the assessment in Florida, because our horticulture department was recommending trees and our weed science group was giving recommendations as to how to kill them. And there were very close to knockdown, drag out fights regarding the status of some of these various species. So that's something that actually spurred our assessment in Florida. So who has questions for any of the speakers?
We didn't use peat moss. We used cow manure, black cow, which for sure, I mean, organic matter is going to have different parameters, environmental parameters than sand does. And I mean, I definitely think that there's always going to be different outcomes in the field as into the greenhouse. But this kind of just gives us a basis of where to begin and where to look at, and I guess the overall potential of its capability. Right. Yeah. I mean, well, we didn't find any significant differences between the substrates. We did find that the main difference was with the nutrient levels, and those nutrients were added into them. So yeah, for sure. I mean, there'll definitely be differences.
Yeah.